This time on episode 228 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. best laid plans, we talk Marvel News Roundup, and we talk your listener feedback.
I'm Jason from the Digital Soup Podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeek.com. And get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Sunday, January 28th, 2018, from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios. Happy Kazoo Day!
We don't have kazoos.
No, we did not plan. We were not prepared to celebrate.
We were not.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Defenders on Netflix, Legion of on FX, possibly The Gifted on Fox if we find time to do it, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general because of a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
If you'd like to talk to us about a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff, you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you find yourself in a time loop, you can leave us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
If Facebook still exists in the timeline you found yourself in, you can find our page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
If Twitter, by some miracle, still exists, you can get a hold of us at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We all know YouTube is going to survive into the future, so you can find our videos at www.youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, in any timeline, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network. This week, our episode is Best Laid Plans. What does that mean?
Y'all are familiar, I'm assuming, with the phrase, best laid plans of mice and men. Hold on, I actually don't know the rest of the phrase.
Something, something astray.
What is the actual phrase? Here it is. Okay, it's a line, it's from a poem by Robert Burns. The best laid schemes of mice and men, and then it's something Scottish, gang aft a glay. So that means it just kind of...
I think it means oft go astray.
Yes, it means it fracks up.
Anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Yes, exactly. And we see that several times in this episode. But then some of the plans also go right. Not Cassius's. Cassius's plans go wrong. And we're all very glad for that. Cassius is a d-
Yep, F that guy. So this episode was directed by Gary A. Brown. He only has 6 directing credits going back to 1985. So he did like one episode of Who's the Boss and then took like a half a decade break. And then one episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. And then like a decade off. And then he did an episode of Prison Break Visitations. And then 2 episodes of Prison Break. He did a movie called Charlie, A Toy Story. And he has done 7 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., including this one.
Dude has a lot of credits as like second unit director, yes, assistant director, and producer, though.
Yep. He has been a producer on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for season 2 and then a co-executive producer for seasons 3 and 5. And he also produced Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot. Who was the writer, Michelle?
This episode was written by George Kitson, has 5 writing credits since 2006, including 5 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., 1 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot, and 3 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And what's interesting is that George was assistant to the showrunner for 66 episodes. That's probably why it's basically all Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, with double agent and slingshot in the regular show.
So dude's been learning.
That's the best way.
At the right hand of the king?
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically like go to class every day and learn from who's doing it and finally going, look what I can do. I learned all the stuff.
Let me do it.
Yeah. So I think this was a good team. I really, really liked this episode, you guys.
I did too.
Has there been one we haven't liked yet?
This season, no.
No. This season's been fantastic for me.
I know. Yeah. And it's like, I'm kind of have a little anxiety about, please keep being good. Please keep being good.
Well, I thought I was going to have a major nitpick about, you know, discontinuity in their time travel theory, but then they fixed it. So I don't.
So last week, complained a little bit about the science, and that's pretty much the most nitpicky I've gotten. But then we find out this week, oh, there's an explanation for that. And it's like, oh, well, there goes that. So good job, writers.
Before we get too much into the episode, we have to know, what did Michelle's mom think?
She's like the rest of us, just like on the edge of her seat, really enjoying it. She's like, nothing better happened to Mac and Yo-Yo, which I agree. And it's always like, I can't wait till next week. I can't wait till next week. And she's like, this is the best season. To her, this is the best season, period. It's actually beating season one for her.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think this is probably the best season.
The writing's so solid. It's just wonderful character building, just rewarding people who've been watching the show. Yeah, I definitely agree.
Like, was it season two that had that when Daisy became an Inhuman and we met her parents?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, that was really good, but I don't remember if the whole season was solid or if it was just her storyline that was really solid.
I think it was just her storyline that was pretty solid.
Okay.
There was a couple episodes that I liked, but in retrospect, it's like, it could have been better.
Yeah, this has been so solid the whole time.
Yeah, just, again, this was another episode that during the live tweets, there was long stretches where I'm like, I know I need to say something, but I can't tear my eyes away from the screen.
Okay, so since it's what we started talking about, we should probably talk about the science first. So, your science quibble from last week.
Well, first of all, we'd been talking about the whole time loop thing, and I was mad because, oh, come on, Fitz doesn't believe in the multiverse thing. Again, big wibbly, timey-wimey stuff. I was like, okay, I can hand wave that, though, if they've been trying this in a loop and it's always the same result. But the big one that we stuck on was Earth has been shattered, and yet there's still enough gravity to have an atmosphere. What's up with that? And we find out it's because of the gravitonium.
Well played, writers.
Good job.
We were right. We talked about that last time, and so it's like, hey, we got that one right. But what do we think about Fitz? Fitz is like being, you know, okay, we've seen this new Zephyr, and because we've seen the new Zephyr, we go back and design it, and we have to live this horrible life because it's happened. And it reminded me of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, where it's like, don't forget the garbage can, you know? So is he right to be so basically pessimistic about this whole thing?
I mean, for him, kind of.
Based on the theory of time travel that he is subscribing to, which is that causal loops are created as an entity together and cannot be changed. So they go into the timeline as like one discrete unit of thing, and they're immutable. And if that theory of time travel is right, then yes, he's right to be pessimistic.
Yeah, Haley is the resident engineer here. She knows more about, I guess, this type of stuff.
I mean, I don't think anybody really knows a lot about this type of stuff because it's all so theoretical, but...
Yeah, it's completely theoretical, but I mean, I'm a biologist. I know squishy things.
Part of me is wondering, are they in their actual future or are they in like a flashpoint version where it's parallel?
Like one of many possible... Okay, so I have to start with where I thought we were at the beginning of this episode when we saw like them... leading to this future. Like, we saw May flying around and Fitzsimmons working on things. I was thinking, like, that was the original timeline that they had never been pulled out of. So it was, like, a continuous timeline of them coming from the mainframe, and then this timeline kind of started. And that bugged me, because there was no way for Fitz to take the long way around if that were true, because he would have come into a different timeline. But what they're saying happened is they do find a way to go back home, and then this timeline happens, because of the actions they take after they come home.
But they're trying to stop the world from shattering.
It's like, I need to draw this out. I need to draw diagrams. It's going to look like a beautiful mind up in here.
Yeah, where's Doc Brown's chalkboard?
Because, I mean, is it going to be like a Flash thing where Barry goes back in time and saves his mother, and it creates this alternate timeline where Bruce Wayne dies and there's a war between Wonder Woman and Aquaman, and it's all this type of stuff. And then Barry decides, oh my goodness, I made a big old mistake and I was selfish. And then he goes back and he undoes it. And he remembers Flashpoint, but nobody else does.
Yeah, and he creates a slightly different timeline that's not Flashpoint, but different than what it was before.
Y'all, time travel is exhausting. All right,
but to me, what it seems like has happened is originally when they went through this loop, like they go all the way through and they come back, and the actions they took then that led to this, their hand was kind of forced along the way. And also, it seemed like Fitz had that one throwaway line, which I didn't write down, but it was, we've tried all these different things, and every time this keeps happening, it made it seem like this loop had gone through more than once with them trying different things to get a different result, and they still end up in the same place.
Yeah. That's what I took from it.
You mean like that episode of Next Generation where they're in that loop and then they slowly figure it out and then they try to leave clues for each other in order to finally get out of it?
Or that episode of Xena where, like, at the end of the loop, one of her friends is dead every time?
Or that episode of Supernatural where Dean dies every time.
Or that episode of SG-1 where Teal'c and O'Neill are the only ones.
That's like my favorite episode, Window of Opportunity.
That is so good. Yes.
Oh, so good. Something about Magnet.
They both get so good at juggling.
I know. But yeah, that show is so good. And time travel episodes can be so fun. Or they could be horrifying, like when you really think about the implications.
Yeah.
But right now, I think the fact that we're giving so much thought to this and the fact that the writers seem to have obviously put thought into this too gives me hope.
Yeah, well, and we've talked about it before, especially this season. Like, the writers have seen other genre things. Like, they've seen horror movies. So our characters don't do stupid horror movie things. They've seen action movies. They've seen sci-fi. Like, the writers are fans of the genres that we are fans of. So they know the questions we're going to ask about things like, why does this little chunk of Earth still have gravity? Oh, because of the gravitonium. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
They know what we're thinking because they are us and they are writing the show for us. And it is fantastic.
Yes, there is something to be said for fans of a thing eventually going on to write the thing. Because, yeah, like you said, you know the complaints. You can handle the complaints.
I really want to finish this storyline and figure out, like, what they're going to do. Because it seems like the Daisy that went back and destroyed the Earth came back with the knowledge that she is the one that destroyed the Earth. And she still
did it.
If she did it. But if she did it, like, there is a reason that she did it. It's not that, oh, she willy-nilly wanted to destroy the Earth. It was like something had to happen. Something forced her hand.
By the way, Voss mentions there was a flash of light and then the Earth was destroyed. Are we thinking Infinity War? Are we thinking literal? Because we know that Ghost Rider exists.
Mm-hmm.
So are we thinking literal hell? What are we thinking? Are we thinking it's Daisy?
I want to think that it ties into Infinity War somehow, but I think they would have to mention, oh, there was this epic battle between all the heroes and this evil monster from space. And that doesn't seem to be something that gets brought up in this story they tell of what happened. Like, it's just the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
But again, who controls the information?
That is true. They don't seem to mention, like, Iron Man or Thor or anything like that. It just seems like they just know about S.H.I.E.L.D. because maybe they, because of the Zephyr, and that's what survived. And so they see S.H.I.E.L.D. on the plane, and that's why they keep knowing about S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, there has to be a reason that the other higher profile heroes and stuff don't get mentioned, right?
There has to be.
I mean, considering that we're constantly having just mentions of, like, just casual mentions on the show. Again, I want to know what happened.
But we know Infinity War is going to be dealing with the Infinity Stones, and there's a time one and reality. And like, those are valuable things if you're trying to break a time loop. And now my brain hurts.
Yes,
I know.
There was other stuff in this episode besides all the time travel stuff, guys.
Yeah. Speaking of, remember we were talking about our theory that is Flint going to bring the Earth back together? Is he going to bring the monolith back together? It looks like he's going to bring the monolith back together so he could send them back to the past.
Yay.
Yay.
And he is a part of Mac and Yo-Yo's plan. And I liked how Mac just took charge. He's just like, okay, wait a minute. He says he can end all human life with a push of the button. Okay, let's find out how. And he's finding all the bombs.
Okay, so Mac has seen enough movies and enough stuff to know how evil overlords work. Yo-Yo has been in a place where, okay, she's from Colombia. Let's face it, over the past 30, 40 years, it's better these days, as I understand, but Colombia has not historically had a great record of dictators and people being pushy. And there's a reason that she's like, I got into this when I was just a little older than Flint was. And then, of course, there's Flint, who is like, I finally have the power to do something. I want to help. So it's like a dream team right here. Of these people who are like, okay, we can make stuff happen. Let's plan.
Yes.
And it's just like how he takes, because Cassius is just obsessed with making Inhumans. And so they hold that hostage and they make Cassius come down and meet him. And then Yo-Yo's calling him a coward. And Mac is just saying all this type of stuff. And basically, Mac has seen The Incredibles and he gets Cassius monologuing. To where the point where Flint comes and they're like, did you get it all done? And he's like, yeah. And then Yo-Yo tries to run and she gets stopped by the force field. And then it makes Cassius push the button. And they actually got all the humans to put all the bombs on level 25.
Yeah, Cassius is like, oh, the one thing I can count on, because he's seen humanity at their worst. He's seen them desperate, scared and hungry. So he's like, yeah, they're all just going to turn on each other. But Mac has seen humanity at their best, where he knows if you give them just a little bit of hope, if you give us just a little bit of hope, yeah, we will work together against this jerk.
Yep. Common enemy, a common goal.
Exactly. Give us a common goal and we can move mountains. And that's what they do. They move all these bombs that Cassius had put in the oxygen switches and stuff and the oxygen pipe and move them to what was like the Kree levels, basically, like the good people levels.
Yep.
And they blow up the higher levels and it's great. And it made me happy. Oh,
it's so good.
Two things that I wanted to mention. One, when they're talking to Cassius about the Inhuman Project thing, he says that they had an agreement.
Yeah, that's the deal they made to get the Kree to help save them.
Yeah. And two, who told them about Cassius, you know, monologuing? It was Tess. Tess comes back to life, y'all. Tess has been to Tahiti.
It's a magical place.
Yeah. Coulson got brought back with Kree blood and some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Way back in season one.
It's all connected.
Tess is back. She's looking like hell. She's looking pasty, under eye circles. She's wearing like a turtleneck because, hey, remember she was hanged? So she's looking a bit rough.
Yeah, she looks a little more zombie-ish than I think we ever saw Coulson looking.
Then again, she's been dead for a while. Coulson was probably put into, what, like cold storage and then moved to this facility pretty quickly.
So she wasn't as fresh when they brought her back.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. She's had a bit of time to decompose. So it's going to be a bit before she's, you know, fresh and rosy-cheeked again. So Tess is looking rough, and she's scared, understandably, because she's been dead for a bit. The Kree killed her. But she's still very useful to their plans, and they actually are able to use her to lure Cassius into the agreement, into the talks that they have. Because again, give people a little bit of hope. It's great.
He was ready for Yo-Yo, though. He had his little shield up.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping, like, they had anticipated that, and that was, like, their decoy, and they had a backup plan to take him out, but no yeah. such luck.
But, Yo-Yo and Mac this episode, just so fantastic.
Okay, so we saw, like, the loop that of the past, but it's their future that Mac was not in. What are the odds that Mac stays to lead whatever's left of these people when they try to go home?
I don't think so.
Well, if Mac stays, Yo-Yo's going to stay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just thinking Mac might be just someplace else.
Like separated when they go through yeah. or something.
Or leading like a little pocket resistance somewhere else. He's very good at that.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is if, okay, hold on. If future Yo-Yo lost faith, but then she has experienced this, the successful uprising, if this Yo-Yo goes back into the past, why would she lose faith?
Because the point of them going back in time was to try and prevent this future from ever happening, to try and prevent the destruction of the Earth and the subjugation of humanity under the Kree. And making that deal with the Kree is like, it's happening again.
Okay.
They weren't
able to. Time travel. Headache. Yep.
So I'm thinking, Daisy, at some point, like, maybe she wasn't trying to destroy the Earth. She was trying to destroy something else, but the destruction of that thing led to the destruction of the Earth. And Flint's powers seem to kind of be like the mirror of her powers. Like, she blows things apart and he brings things together. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it's going to be kind of like The Gifted, where they're going to, like, hold hands. They're going to send him back in time with them this time. So whatever she does, whatever it is she has to do, his powers kind of help contain hers. So that they can accomplish whatever goal they had and not destroy the Earth.
I can see that.
Yeah. What if Daisy goes back with her inhibitor on?
I was wondering that because she suddenly is really scared of her own abilities. And she's like, I don't want to be Quake the Destroyer of Worlds. I just want to be Daisy Johnson, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
And she's maybe thinking, hey, this is a way I can make sure this future never happened, is don't have my powers.
Except it's just an inhibitor, which means it could always be turned off at some point.
Exactly.
So many questions.
I know. There's just so many possibilities.
But one thing that definitely happened this episode was Daisy and Smurfette, with a little help from Deke, who's finally kind of useful.
Yeah. Finally, more than just a pretty and annoying face.
I was listening to the music a little more this time, and Smurfette's theme is kind of awesome.
Oh my god, I know.
Mm-hmm. Bear McCreary continues to be amazing. Because, yeah, in case y'all forgot, Bear McCreary of Battlestar Galactica and Black Sails and everything else. He does Outlander, too.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he does the music for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Most of the TV shows you watch, he does.
Most of the TV shows. He's just so amazing.
We joked about this on my other podcast, Gallifrey Public Radio, about Doctor Who. They're losing their composer for the new season, Murray Gold, who has done, I think, the entire of the relaunch of the show up to this point. And I joked that Bear McCreary is going to do it because nobody else is allowed to do TV.
Oh, God, I wouldn't doubt it. He does Walking Dead, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
Good Lord. But that was an awesome fight. Daisy held her own.
Yeah, Daisy, I mean, they're fighting just, and then Daisy starts to lose a little bit because it's been a while since it's just been her and her fists and not using her powers to just kind of knock people off guard. And then Deke ends up throwing out this, like, claw thing and just giving her a moment for Daisy to catch her breath. And then gravity gets turned off sort of while the Zephyr is finally taking off and breaking atmosphere. And Daisy spears Sonara in the heart.
Bye, Smurfette.
Yeah.
You were cool.
That's too bad because she was a delightful villain.
She really was. And again, the actress is great. If you want to see her again, watch The Expanse. She's in season one. She's pivotal to the plot. Again, tragically underused in everything. But here, at least, she's so delightfully menacing here. And she's a very tragic character in The Expanse. And I hope to see more of her. She's great.
So another character thing in this episode is that officially now, May is mom.
Yes. Mama May, official.
Because we've been making that joke for a while about how, team mom. You know,
like
Phil is...
Since season one, basically.
Phil and May is mom and dad, and Daisy's been their child.
Daisy, just like snarking from the sidelines, like, oh yeah, you'd be a super strict mom. That total mom face.
We got some good Felinda in this episode. We got Phil charging his hand. We got Coulson, which somebody pointed out, I think it was Born to Eat Bacon. So when his fake hand is supposed to be just his hand, right?
Because because he didn't use the good one because he
halfway up his arm.
Right. He didn't use the good fake hand because he thought they were going to go to prison and they take it away and he wanted to have a hand.
Yeah. Because this one looked to be like half of his forearm when he was charging it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was watching it and I'm like, is his hand like USB charger compatible? Just how does he charge it? Does he take it off and just let it charge overnight like I do my phone? What?
Like, how often does it need to charge? Because he hasn't charged it in a while. Because, you know, he's been busy on the crap brig.
Which makes you wonder, how long have they been there exactly? Days? Weeks?
It feels like weeks. But we don't know exactly how long.
Yeah. Oh, more fun. Enoch.
Yes.
The more Enoch's around, the more I like him.
Yes, it's like I'm plastic and we don't have gender. And if I had a stomach, the vomiting would begin now. I like this. This is not a good plan. And then when
it works,
everything works out. Oh, this was a good plan.
Yeah, I kind of dig Enoch. He's just fun.
You know he's going to make a noble sacrifice before this is over.
I know, but I kind of want him to stick around for a while, just being like this weird guy following them around. And they're like, really? But no, you don't want him to overstay his welcome. He's going to have to make a noble sacrifice.
Okay, so May is mom, and May was Robin's mom for a little bit there at the end. Mm-hmm. And they're both special. So what is it about May that makes her special?
She's Michelle Yeoh.
She's May.
I know she's special to us, but that makes her different than all of the others.
Remember the time she handled the Asgardian Rage Stick?
Yeah.
She could handle that pretty well.
I don't know. I'm wondering if it's that she has some knowledge that the others don't of the future, or maybe whatever Robin whispered into her ear.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she's just a really cool person.
Yep. She's just more badass than anybody else.
Exactly.
It's her superpower.
She's just that good.
Anything else from this episode, guys?
I love Gemma. Was like, this is a good plan. This will work. If this works and this works and we don't get this and if things don't hit us and kill us. And then like halfway, she's like, I'm really sorry. This was a terrible plan.
All right. So how do you rate this episode?
Like 9 lives. Easy.
Again, it's one of those things. It's where, so far it's like, you know, an 8 and a 9 and they're hitting it out of the park. And it's just, I hope they keep hitting it out of the park.
That doesn't sound like a number.
I said 8 and, you know, 8, 9, 8.5. How's that?
All right. Okay. So you would kill 8 fully grown adults and 1 small child. Or would children be worth more than adults?
Well, according to Cassius,
is it by mass?
Okay, so 8 fully grown adults and 1 very small adult.
Like an adult that's had a few limbs removed as punishment.
Okay.
All right. I'm giving mine 9 impaled Smurfettes out of 10.
Okay.
Yes, it's a very good episode. Very much enjoyed it.
It was a very good episode.
Also, more good things available on the Gunna Geek Network.
Yes. So we are not the only podcast on the network. I know it's shocking to hear.
Crazy talk.
There's also such things like Pop Culture Cosmos in their latest episode, PCC Multiverse number 48. We're counting down the Marvel movies with our thoughts on each one as we lead into Black Panther. We bring you the latest news and trends in pop culture right here on the Pop Culture Cosmos show. And the PCC Multiverse, which you can listen to today on the Gunna Geek Network.
Also available at GunnaGeek.com. And now for the news!
Yay!
So we had talked at the beginning of the season about the upcoming Marvel things on many different networks, and we kind of have an update to that story. So The Gifted, we've watched. Some of us haven't seen the finale yet. Some of us are behind on things. Season 2 of Legion is coming. That has been pushed to about April of 2018, is the latest news I've seen. The Punisher has premiered, but, you know, some of us haven't watched it yet.
Me.
Runaways has premiered. Some of us are a few episodes behind.
Me.
Me. But Cloak and Dagger, last week, that trailer came out, and we now have a premiere date for it, June 7th, 2018. That is coming to Freeform. There's another show we had talked about coming to Freeform, and that is New Warriors. But the latest news shows that that is no longer going to premiere on Freeform. And right now, Marvel is shopping around for another network to air it, or there's talk that doesn't seem to be very likely that it might end up on Disney's new streaming subscription service that they're going to launch.
Yeah. So this is annoying. This was, I guess, a pretty recent story. That's pretty much just what the story is. Hey, we're not going to be doing it. We're going to shop it around. Annoying.
Yeah, I actually stumbled across this morning as I was looking for a premiere date, because I figured, oh, we've got a Cloak and Dagger premiere date. They probably have one for New Warriors now as well. Not so much. So another little bit of news here. Cable artist John Malin compares social justice warriors to Nazis.
Okay, I tweeted about this earlier this week because I was really, really angry. So first of all, yesterday, January 27th, was Holocaust Remembrance Day. And again, very, very important date. On January 21st, John Malin said, X-Men are closer to Jews in SJW's Hitler's Germany fighting for freedom because they see ideologues rising, silencing them, weaponizing hate, racism, and socialism against the people they claim are the roots of social ills. SJWs are not Nazis, but Nazis are SJWs, and X-Men aren't SJWs. And then he proceeded to run his mouth even more, and then he set up like a Kickstarter or GoFundMe or something that last I heard had raised about $12.
What is he raising money for exactly? Just to be a dick?
Yeah, pretty much.
Social justice warriors, in case you're not aware, are kind of like the exact opposite of Nazis.
Yeah, the whole, okay, social justice is the idea that, hey, it's nice if people are equal, and if...
It's hard to calmly discuss the issue sometimes.
It really is. It's very hard to calmly discuss the issue. Basically, yeah, hey, be nice to each other, don't be a dick. It is basically, the whole point of it is don't be a dick. Whether you, whatever race you are, whatever gender you are, sexual orientation, if you're disabled, whatever. Just don't be a dick, and just kind of societally, don't be a dick. But there's that whole, SJWs, because people are mad because they can't use racial slurs.
Yeah.
Or,
and
it's basically what it is.
Just so you know, somebody calling you out for being a dick for using a racial slur is not, like, violating your freedom of speech.
Yeah.
The government is not censoring you. You can still say what you want, but people are going to call you out for being a dick, and maybe they're not going to, like, throw money in your direction when you continue to do so. That is not suppression of free speech.
And then later on Sunday night, John Malin appeared on a Q&A streamed via YouTube with Ethan Van Sciver, who currently works for DC, but used to work for Marvel, and again expressed his belief that the comics industry will begin to reject creators based on political views. So again, people saying, I don't like this guy because he's a dick, is not the same as censoring. So yeah, I wrote to Marvel and said, hey, just so you know, this guy may not be representing your company well. I don't pretend to know what to do about it, but I'm not happy. That's not censoring. That's just saying, I don't like what this guy is doing.
Yep.
Why do people have to be so stupid?
People are terrible. And again, this guy immediately after set up an Indiegogo thing for himself, raised about $12 last I had heard. The comics industry can be a really, really toxic place. The Me Too movement, you know, the whole women and men and non-binary people speaking out about harassment and sexual harassment and stuff that has happened to them has been hitting the industry. And again, social justice, people saying, I do not deserve to be sexually harassed just for being present in the workplace. That is a thing. That is not an attack on a person unless that person is being horrible. Right now, there's a lot of really awful things going on behind the scenes in pretty much every industry right now. y'all want to move on to happier stuff?
Yes. So some news that is not miserable. We've got a little bit of casting news for Daredevil. Joanne Whalley will be joining the show for season 3.
Yes. So Joanne Whalley, I know best as Sorsha from Willow back in the 80s. She's been in a bunch of other stuff. But it tends to be like period dramas and stuff that I don't really watch. I know she's in Wolf Hall. But anyway, she's going to be joining as Sister Maggie. Remember we discussed, we were like, who's Maggie? Maggie is, spoiler alert, Daredevil's mom. And spoiler alert.
Some more exciting news for upcoming things. We all know that Brie Larson is going to be playing Captain Marvel, and we now have some pictures from the set of Captain Marvel.
Okay. I'm really excited. Have y'all seen the pictures yet?
Yes.
Yes, she's not wearing heels.
Yay! Yes.
So she's wearing, it looks like motorcycle leathers, and which is, again, super practical. It's in the cut of the current Captain Marvel uniform, except it's in kind of shades of green and blue.
Yes, different colors.
Which kind of makes sense because of the whole original Captain Marvel, Marvel color scheme. And I saw an article, I think on the Mary Sue, pointing out that since it's like the 90s, she has the Rachel haircut. And now I can't unsee it. So you guys, I'm so excited.
She looks like she's about to kick some serious ass.
I am so excited.
Also, is she looking at a map in character, or is that, like, something for, like, just for production reasons, she's holding a big giant sheet of paper?
I don't know.
But I really like the idea of a superhero, like, stopping and, like, looking at a map and trying to figure out where they're going next.
I know, they wouldn't have Google Maps on their phone.
I know. She didn't have time to MapQuest it before she went out. And some more exciting news for fans of superhero movies. Logan has been nominated for an Academy Award.
Yes!
Oscar-nominated Logan.
I know. Best Adapted Screenplay, which is awesome.
Guys. So cool!
Yeah.
Yeah, so we can now start saying Academy-nominated Logan, which is awesome.
Yep.
Yes.
The other nominees in the category are Call Me By Your Name, The Disaster Artist, Molly's Game, and Mudbound.
Yeah, so I don't think Logan's going to win, no. But how cool is it that it was nominated?
That's pretty impressive. You know, Hollywood loves movies about itself, so The Disaster Artist has a good shot. And I know there's been a lot of chatter about Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
But this is exciting stuff. And that is it for the news this week.
Let's move on to some feedback.
We're going to start with a tweet from the Starly Tribune, and I have to admit that this is me. I'm the one that runs the Starly Tribune account. And I watched the new Black Panther. It was this huge, like, trailer. It had different little things, and in there was a commercial for Lexus using the cast from Black Panther. And I said, I want a Lexus now, which I've never wanted a Lexus before. But hey, if Black Panther is driving one, it makes it attractive.
Also, apologies to anybody whose Echo was just activated.
Oh my God. There's supposed to be a new Black Panther trailer with the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And guys are so close. Do y'all have your tickets yet for Black Panther?
No, because I am going to be at a con that weekend, and I don't know when I'll be able to go see it.
It took me 4 tries to find a screening that didn't have only just, like, the front row of seats available. And I accidentally did not click out of the thing. So when I was like, okay, buy tickets, it was like $100-something. I'm like, no, no.
Oh my gosh.
So then I was like, oh, wait, I can delete the ones that I'm not. Okay. Okay.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So here in Houston, people are very excited about Black Panther, and I am so excited.
I would imagine I will probably end up seeing it like Sunday afternoon or something when it comes out that weekend.
Yeah.
We also had, during the live tweet, I made a joke about Tess being back from Tahiti, and I got three It's a Magical Place tweets, so I just wanted to thank at Born to Eat Bacon, at BoredNow13, and at Independent Alto. Thank you, guys.
And then we also had this interaction between at Andaminga and at Mr. Pericletes. Andaminga started, whoa, her, meaning Tess, returning was a big surprise. Shapeshifter or what trickery? At Mr. Pericletes, you know, LMD. At Andaminga said, I was more surprised Mac didn't immediately try to behead her because, you know, zombies.
Yeah, in retrospect, being genre savvy and all.
But they did say that they've seen that before, resurrected people. So they were going on prior knowledge.
True, true.
Yeah, but she looked an awful lot like a zombie. And she didn't talk for a while when she first showed up. Are you guys ready to anti-grab this one out?
I'm ready.
Me too.
All right. Thank you to everybody that is listening to the show in whatever way you're listening. Thank you to everybody that sends us feedback in whatever way you send it. We appreciate all of you, and we look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you for everybody who hangs out with us during the live tweet. And if you hang out with us when we usually are live, we weren't this week because, as you may have noticed, our esteemed director, Stargate Pioneer, is not with us, and none of us can figure out or bother to do the live streaming stuff. Yeah.
He is the monkey that flips those particular switches.
Yes. So if you like hanging out with us, we really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Until next time, I am Interim Director Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi.
Yay, go team.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
I have so much TV that I have not watched.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Like any of the DC stuff since it came back after the break. Really, most TV that has come back after the break. And I have not seen
Black
the finale.
Lightning is so good, though.
Is it? I haven't seen the finale of The Gifted yet.
Me either.
Oh, that was so good. Oh, God, that last shot. Just.
Runaways, I need to catch up on.
I think I'm only one episode behind on Runaways.
I liked how that went.
Still haven't seen Punisher.
I've seen the first two episodes.
I haven't either seen Punisher. For some reason, it's not.
Oh, New Warriors is canceled.
What?
What? You lie.
Hold on. I'm bringing this up right now. It's from a site called Seriable.
I'm seeing it on Hollywood Reporter. I'll put it in the news. This is bullshit.
Wait, what?
From in April will no longer air on the younger skewing Disney-owned cable network. Instead, sources... Oh, don't give me that. Sources tell The Hollywood Reporter that Marvel will shop the live-action comedy to other outlets.
That's not good.
That it could be taken to Disney's forthcoming subscription streaming service.
Which no one will be able to afford.
This is bull****. New Warriors is not going to be airing on Freeform. They're looking to shop it around for other networks.
What?
Lord of the Rings text post thing on Tumblr.
Are you falling down the Tumblr hole again?
I always fall down the Tumblr hole.
I believe you tumble down the Tumblr hole.
Not good point.
It's like, Lauren is missing. Where is she? We'll check Tumblr. She's probably there.
I don't normally chase after boys, but if he's a Ranger of the North and heir to the throne of Gondor, then I just might power walk.
Oh, my goodness.
How the f*** do I remember so much about the movie Avatar? I saw it once.
I've seen it more than once, but it was a long time ago. But I probably remember all of it.
Blue people.
Fern Gully.
Yeah, blue cat people having sex with their ponytails.
I don't think they were just having sex with the ponytails. It was kind of...
Man, they were with those ponytails. Their ponytails are like...
And also with the ponytails.
USB cables.
And then the tree. And then Sigourney Weaver's alive and the blue person.
They use the ponytails for sex, but also to ride their horses.
Yeah. That's really f***ed up when you think about it. That's like, I'm going to ride this horse by sticking my f*** in it. Which I guess technically is true. But I would not recommend it.
Oh, God. No.
And then I'll do the... Oh, we were going to do Happy Witch Day? Kazoo Day?
Yeah.
We can just make kazoo noises with our lips. Bzz, 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 bzz.
Okay.
Okay.
This is where the sound would go. Or that episode of SG-1 where Teal'c and O'Neill are the only ones.
That's like my favorite episode, Window of Opportunity.
That is so good. Yes.
Oh, so good. Something about magnets.
They both get so good at juggling.
I know. I'm doing a rewatch of SG-1 with my spouse and some friend at a friend right now, and we've... My cat is an idiot. Remember we discussed, we're like, who's Maggie? Maggie is, spoiler alert, Daredevil's mom. And spoiler alert.
All right. It's a dog. What's a dog doing on our cat cast?
Dog, do you have things to say about Marvel?
And that is it for the news this week.
Let's move on to some feedback. So if you like hanging out with us, we really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
All right.
And thank you for Michelle for hanging out with us too.
Did somebody just unplug their microphone?
I think I'm still here.
All better.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode number 228, broadcast has been successfully terminated. Great job, ladies.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2018.